Hey, everybody, and welcome to week 16 of season 4 of NFL Insights with Brennan. Brennan had a little bit of a rough week last week as he went 7-8, bringing the overall record to 122-89. He did hit his lock of the week, so he's at 12-3 on that front. We'll get right to it with an AFC North battle, where the Steelers at 7-7, welcoming in the 8-6 Bengals. Anything goes in division games, but this isn't what we're usually used to seeing from the Steelers this late in the season.
Nope. The Steelers are really in danger of having their first ever losing season under Mike Tomlin. These two teams met in week 12, so not that long ago. That's when they met for the first time. It was Jake Browning's first ever NFL start. Didn't play very well, but has come a long way since. The Bengals could make the playoffs, but they have a tough remaining schedule. It starts with this. Pittsburgh is always a tough place to play, even though the Steelers have been not very good this season. They could win out or make the playoffs, but I highly doubt that. They're dealing with a lot of injuries. They're without both of their starting safeties, Minkah Fitzpatrick and DeMonte Kazee. Kazee was suspended the rest of the regular season for that vicious hit on Michael Pittman Jr. in the game against the Colts. And then their backup safety is also out, and it's gone viral on certain plays. There have been certain plays that have gone viral where George Pickens and Deontay Johnson are like trying to block or something, and they're giving in no effort. This team just has no energy. And even though Mason Rudolph is going to play this game instead of Mitchell Trubisky, that move had to be done, by the way. Trubisky is just awful. The quarterback change could provide a spark, but I'm going to go with the Bengals here.
Okay, and we have a night game on Saturday as well, with the 5-9 Chargers playing host to the 8-6 Bills. And this game is on Peacock exclusively, and you say no more apps.
Yeah, the schedule makers probably thought this would be a really good one when the schedule was made, but the Chargers are out of the playoffs. Justin Herbert is hurt and out for the year, and the Chargers finally fired Brandon Staley last week after they lost to the Raiders and gave up 63 points in the process. I had a feeling the Chargers would not do well in the regular season. I had the feeling that the playoff collapse would carry over into this season, and I was right. Staley should have just been fired after the playoffs, but it didn't happen, and I think that's a move that Dean Spanos regretted. I feel like he probably wishes he would have done it sooner. But yep, Keenan Allen is out. Justin Herbert is out. So Easton Stick is going to be the starter for the final couple of games. And some dude named Giff Smith is going to be the interim head coach for the next three games. The Bills, it didn't look like they were going to make the playoffs, but they beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead, and then they destroyed the Cowboys in Buffalo. So they are 8-6, but they'll likely have to win out to get into the playoffs and maybe receive some help. But it's all coming together at the right time. I think they probably will end up making the playoffs, and they should have absolutely no problem beating the Chargers on the road. And sorry, Peacock, I'm not going to go to the app on the PS4 and watch it. You can forget it. Although there's going to be a playoff exclusive game on Peacock. I can't believe it. It's just dumb. It's stupid. I don't like it, but I'm taking the Bills to win this one, but I'm skipping it.
Okay. Down in Hotlanta, the 6-8 Falcons, the shine seems to be off of Desmond Ridder at QB there. And they're welcoming in the 8-6 Colts, who seem to be rallying behind Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, the Colts have been nice to watch. It's the year of the backup, and Gardner Minshew has been doing well, so that's nice to see. Although it should be Anthony Richardson starting all of these games, but he was hurt in almost every single game that he played, and then he had the season-ending shoulder surgery. The Falcons lost to the Panthers last week. They were 6-7 entering that game. Now they're 6-8. It was a rainy, awful day. I had no idea the weather was like that, but it was inexcusable. The Panthers only had one win going into that game, and the Panthers won 9-7, and all those points were just field goals. They made 3 field goals. They didn't even score an offensive touchdown. The Falcons should be absolutely ashamed of themselves. Desmond Ridder is not a good quarterback. I mean, you had to roll the dice with him. He was a third round pick, not a first round pick. So you don't owe third round pick quarterbacks as much time as you do with first rounders. So Ritter's benched again. That will likely be the end of his time as the starter. So Taylor Heinicke will be the starter. And I feel like we all know what to expect from him. He'll make a few crazy plays, and then he'll follow it up with a horrendous interception. I remember that was, I saw that happen against the Vikings when Heinicke started that game. And Arthur Smith really deserves to be fired. That was a travesty last week, and not just that week, but in general. They spend all these high draft picks on offensive players. They took Kyle Pitts 4th overall. They took Drake London in the top 10. They took Bijan Robinson, the running back, in the top 10 this year. And for a team with all this offensive talent, they're a little boring, and these players aren't being used correctly. And yeah, the Falcons have such an easy schedule, and they lost easy looking games, and they're probably going to miss out on the playoffs. And the Falcons always seem to have empty seats at their stadium, and rightfully so, because the Bulldogs are more popular than the Falcons are. Yeah, the college team is more popular than the NFL team. I know, crazy, but that's the state of football in Georgia. And if Arthur Blank, the owner, wants seats filled, he's going to have to fire Arthur Smith and get a new quarterback, because this isn't working. I'm taking the Colts.
All right. Speaking of the Panthers, they're next up at home, 2-12, and coming to town to visit are the 6-8 Packers.
The Packers seem destined to make the playoffs after they beat the Chiefs, but no, they lost to the Giants on the road, lost to a rookie quarterback in Tommy DeVito, and then I thought they had a chance against the Buccaneers. I felt like they were evenly matched, but they proceeded to lose by double digits. Baker Mayfield was the first ever opposing quarterback to have a perfect passer rating at Lambeau, which is wild. I can't believe that didn't happen until last week. Yeah, the defense is not playing really well. Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator, a lot of Packers fans want him fired. And the offense has been banged up as well. A.J. Dillon didn't play. Christian Watson, who is made of glass, didn't play last week or the week before that. Still, even if Watson or Dillon can't play, Jair Alexander, the cornerback, has also been out for several weeks. Even if none of them can play, I still think the Packers are a lot better than the Panthers. The Panthers may have won, but this team is still an absolute mess. And I don't know what the weather is going to be like in Charlotte on Sunday, but whatever it is, I think the Packers will win it.
Okay, in what I consider to probably be the crown jewel of the 1 o'clock slate, we have the Texans at home in Houston at 8-6, welcoming in the 9-5 Browns.
The Browns just barely escaped last week. Sorry to remind you, Dad. They beat the Bears, but they should have lost. Justin Fields threw it in the end zone for a Hail Mary attempt. It was in Darnell Mooney's hands, and he dropped it. Just painful. But Joe Flacco has been playing very well for the Browns, for a guy that was apparently on the couch a couple of weeks ago. He seems to throw for 300 yards in almost every game. And yeah, they're in position to make the playoffs with a favorable schedule. Kevin Stefanski should probably be a coach of the year candidate. He's won games with 4 different starting quarterbacks this year. The Texans have totally exceeded expectations. They have 8 wins, more than all of last year. CJ Stroud didn't play last week, but still the Texans were still able to get a win with Case Keenum. He's not expected to play again. I really hope everything is okay with him as he recovers from the concussion. Maybe it's more beneficial for the Texans that they're having a veteran go up against this Browns defense instead of a rookie, but the Titans really let one slip when they played the Texans. Case Keenum had a pick six. the Titans didn't really do much offensively. That pick six was one of the few points they were able to get. And then Case Keenum, I remember watching the highlights. He threw an it wasn't an interception. He threw a pass that should have been an interception, but it was taken away by Dalton Schultz, I think. They were really lucky to get out of that one. They were going up against a rookie quarterback, but Joe Flacco is very experienced. He was able to overcome a three-interception performance and lead the Browns to a win. And I like the Browns to win this game.
Okay, let's head out to Minnesota. 7-7 Vikings welcoming in the 10-4 Lions. Lions could really step on their divisional opponent's neck with a win here.
All the Lions have to do is win, and they'll get a spot in the playoffs, and they'll win the NFC North. And it'll be the first division title in nearly 30 years. The Vikings really let one slip last week against the Bengals. It was a 27-24 overtime loss. And that was actually the final score of when they played each other back in 2021. So I guess it's just bound to happen that whenever the Vikings play the Bengals, they'll have an extremely infuriating overtime loss. Nick Mullins played decent, but he didn't play well enough. There was one play where he threw an interception to a defensive tackle. It's just funny whenever they turn it over now. It's just crazy how much they've turned it over. It just has to drive Kevin O'Connell insane. One thing I remembered that made me feel better is that Patrick Mahomes threw an interception to the same defensive tackle in the playoffs, BJ Hill. So I was like, I guess Nick Mullins isn't the only one that threw an interception to BJ Hill. But yeah, Mullins turned it over twice in key situations. Then there was really dumb play calling in overtime. They could have won that game, but they didn't. I just feel like the injuries have been too much to overcome now. It's a little weird that this is the first time they're playing the Lions, and it's week 16. They play them twice in 3 weeks. They're playing them on Sunday. Then they play them in Detroit week 18. I personally feel like the Lions will sweep the Vikings in this series. I don't know what they might be playing for in week 18, but when it comes to this matchup, I like the Lions to win. And honestly, there's a part of me that wants the Vikings to lose out so they can get a top quarterback in the draft, because it's about time that they draft one. I would love LSU's Jaden Daniels, but we'll see if that happens.
Okay, let's go check in on the Jets at home, 5-9. The visiting Commanders come in at 4-10. This is a snooze fest.
This is a battle of the suck. It's the worst game of the week. The Jets were shut out last week against the Dolphins. Zach Wilson left with a concussion, didn't return, and now he's ruled out for this game. Their offensive line is a mess. The offense as a whole is just a mess, and I just feel bad for the defense and the coaches and the players. It was supposed to be a magical season, but it didn't happen. Hopefully next year. The Commanders, I guess it's the season as expected. They've played pretty bad. Mainly the defense. That's been the main problem. Sam Howell has played up and down, but I think mostly good. And I think he deserves another season as the starter. He went toe to toe with Jalen Hurts twice. They really came close to beating the Eagles twice, although they didn't win either matchup. I think Sam Howell has shown promise, even though he did get benched for Jacoby Brissett near the end. I he'll probably be the starter. As for the Jets, it'll be Trevor Siemian. I don't know if I just said that earlier, but whoever it is for the Jets at quarterback, it's hopeless. If it isn't Aaron Rodgers, it's hopeless. So this is really a toss-up. It's an awful game, the worst one of the week, but give me the Commanders, I guess.
All right, let's head down to Music City, USA, where the Tennessee Titans at 5-9 playing host to the 7-7 Seahawks.
That Titans win over the Dolphins looked like a fluke since they returned home to Tennessee after that road trip to Miami, and they played a Texans team without C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, the top two of the top three picks in the draft, and they proceeded to lose in overtime. And Will Levis got hurt at the very end as well. It looked to be a high ankle sprain. He's listed as questionable for the game. Ryan Tannehill will play if Levis can't play. The Seahawks had a really impressive, hard-fought win against the Eagles with Drew Locke as quarterback. The defense gave up a lot of yards, but they made plays when it mattered. Safety Julian Love had two interceptions in the game. And I didn't think Drew Lock had it in him, but he led a game-winning drive at the very end. And yeah, it keeps them alive in the playoff race. Their remaining schedule is pretty easy. I could see them going 10-7 and making it. The Titans just aren't a good team. That loss to the Dolphins was just a fluke. And I like the Seahawks to win this game.
Okay, head down to Tampa Bay, where Baker Mayfield, did they release Offensive Player of the Week yet? He has to be in consideration.
I think he won it.
Oh, did he? They're riding high right now, welcoming in the Jaguars at 8-6, who seem to maybe stumbling a little bit.
Yeah, they started off 8-3. Things seemed to be going really well. Then they lost Christian Kirk early in the game, their top wide receiver. A lot of people thought it was weird that they paid him a lot of money, but it was the right decision to sign him in free agency last year because the offense has really struggled without him. They lost to the Bengals in overtime. That was a surprise back when it happened. That's when the story of Jake Browning became popular. That was his first good game. Then they lost to the Browns. Trevor Lawrence also suffered a high ankle sprain against the Bengals. It looked like it could have been a season-ending injury, but it wasn't. He played against the Browns, threw three touchdown passes, but also three interceptions. And then they lost at home in primetime to the Ravens, only scored 7 points, only one touchdown. And then Trevor Lawrence apparently suffered a concussion at the very end. He still hasn't cleared concussion protocol, and he'll have to clear it by tomorrow if he is going to play in this game. He's never missed a game in his career due to injury, but concussions are no... they're a very serious matter, and everyone is different. I have no idea if he is going to play or not. I saw on NFL Network that the Buccaneers are winless against teams with a winning record, which surprised me a little. I didn't really know that, but I think that will change here. With or without Trevor Lawrence, I think the Buccaneers are going to win. They just look like the best team in the NFC South right now. I'm rooting for them, and I think they'll win this Battle of Florida.
Okay, let's head out to the Windy City to check in on the Monsters of the Midway at 5-9, welcoming in the 3-11 Cardinals. And the biggest thing you could say about this game is that it will definitely impact next year's draft positioning.
Yeah, and jobs are on the line, I guess, specifically Justin Fields and Matt Eberflus. The defense played really well up until the fourth quarter when they just collapsed, and Fields had an up-and-down game, could have won it at the end, but Darnell Mooney couldn't catch, so he couldn't catch the ball at the very end. That was very unfortunate. And yeah, the Cardinals, it's been a rough season, as expected. I think the Cardinals had the lowest expectations of any team this year, and it's been rough, as expected. Marquise Brown, their top wide receiver, is out. They got absolutely crushed by the 49ers, which was expected. And this team just isn't there yet. The Bears have been playing better recently. And I think they'll win this one at home.
Okay, along with the Jaguars-Bucks at 4 o'clock, this next game seems to be really good. We have the 10-4 Dolphins at home in Miami, welcoming in the 10-4 Cowboys, who are coming off an absolute pasting at the hands of the Bills.
So both of these teams are 10-4, but I still feel like we don't know how good either of these teams really are, because the Dolphins and Cowboys have both gotten most of their victories against bad teams, and they have proved themselves unable to win against the top teams. The Cowboys are a little bit of an exception after they beat the Eagles at home on Sunday Night Football 2 weeks ago. And as for the Dolphins, their four losses were against the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Eagles, all understandable, but they lost all three of those games. And then that horrendous loss to the Titans that could impact their dreams of getting the number one seed. Tyreek Hill didn't play last week, and I saw that he hadn't been practicing, but I didn't see any official status on him. I assume that he'll be playing, and they need him if they hope to win this game. Feels like a toss-up here, and even though the Cowboys played really bad against the the Bills last week. The Dolphins haven't been able to change the narrative around them that they can't beat winning teams. They haven't been able to do it so yet anyway. So I'll take the Cowboys here. We'll see.
Okay. And for the final game of Christmas Eve on NFL Network, we have the Broncos up in Mile High at 7-7, welcoming in the shadow of themselves Patriots at 3-11.
So the Broncos lost pretty bad against the Lions. They looked like the team that started off the year 1-5. Offense didn't play well. Defense couldn't get a stop at all. But they're going to be at home now. The Patriots are one of the worst teams in the league. Their defense is solid, but their offense is pretty bad. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is, whether it's Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi. Nothing is just really working. And these could be Bill Belichick's final three games as Patriots head coach. We don't know, but we won't know until after the regular season is over. But it could be the end of his legendary tenure in New England. We'll see about that. But I like the Broncos to win this one.
All right, let's move on to Christmas Day, where we have a triple header. First one is a divisional matchup with the 9-5 Chiefs trying to defend their world title. And don't look now, but playing kind of okay, or the 6-8 Raiders. And these Raider-Chiefs games can be intense.
Most of the time. Sometimes they're close, and then other times they're blowouts. Back in Week 12, the Raiders were up 14-0, and then they lost 31-17. They have an interim head coach and a rookie quarterback, and they weren't able to get it done back when they had the 14-point lead at home. Now they're on the road. The Chiefs got a win after having a 2-game losing streak. And from what I think I saw earlier, all the Chiefs need to do is win, and they'll get a playoff spot and perhaps even win the division as well. The Chiefs in the Mahomes era have never lost to a rookie quarterback, so I don't think it'll change today, although the Raiders did just score 63 points and played really well on offense and defense, but that was against a Chargers team that gave up on its former head coach, Brandon Staley. I'll take the Chiefs here, and it's my lock of the week.
I was wondering when that was coming. Another divisional game at 4:30. The 10-4 Eagles at home welcoming in the 5-9 Giants, led by Tommy Cutlets. Divisional game. It looks like a mismatch on paper, but don't overstate or understate the Giants' desire to pile on the Eagles while they are down.
The Eagles did start off 10-1, and it's all been downhill since. They got destroyed by the 49ers. Then they didn't score a single offensive touchdown in the loss to the Cowboys. And then against the Seahawks, they lost that one. That was really surprising. Drew Lock really ripped their hearts out there. The Eagles are 10-4. The Cowboys currently had the lead in the NFC East, but the Eagles have what looks to be an easy-looking remainder of their schedule. They have the Giants twice and the Cardinals. We don't know until the games are played, but I like the Eagles to win all of those and finish at 13-4. I don't know if it'll be enough for the number one seed since they lost to the 49ers. They're currently the number one seed. And the Tommy DeVito mania wore off a little bit against the Saints. I don't think the Giants scored a single offensive touchdown. And yeah, it didn't look so good last week, and now they're going to be on the road again. The Eagles haven't lost to a rookie quarterback in a long time, and I like them to win this one. These first two games aren't really interesting, but the next one most definitely is.
Yeah, and we close it out with probably the best for last, at least in my opinion. The 49ers at 11-3 at home, welcoming in the 11-3 Ravens in a possible Super Bowl preview?
Could be. As of right now, they're the best teams in their conference. We'll see what happens in the playoffs, but the 49ers look great at 11-3 ever since they got Chase Young at the trade deadline, and ever since Deebo Samuel and Trent Williams came back healthy. after they missed some games. They haven't lost a game since October. They looked unstoppable. At times, Brock Purdy could be the league MVP. He's playing really well. The Ravens are the best team in the AFC at the moment at 11-3. They're the only team to have clinched a playoff spot as well, but that'll change soon. It's really important for both of these teams to get a first-round bye, since it will allow them to get extra rest and have extra preparation. I feel like whoever wins this game is going to pretty much have it secured, the top seed in their conference. But I like the 49ers because the Ravens, they play really well on offense at home. Their defense plays well everywhere, but their offense is really good at home and then really inconsistent again on the road. Like I remember when they played the Chargers back when Brandon Staley was still the coach, they won that game 20-10, I believe. Lamar Jackson only passed for like 140 yards and like two touchdown passes. And then against the Jaguars, he only had like 150 and one passing touchdown. I mean, they're winning games and Lamar Jackson is doing enough to win, but they're on the road for a second straight week. They did unfortunately lost rookie running back Keaton Mitchell for the year. He was playing really well. Their running back room has taken a lot of hits this year with injuries. They've been injured a lot. And I think the 49ers are the best team in football, and I think they're going to win this one.
And there you have it, folks. From both Brendan and myself, we wish you the happiest of holidays. We will see you again before we have to wish you a happy new year. Don't forget to follow Brendan on X, formerly Twitter, at PhD in NFL. And also make sure you go over to QBList.com and check out his Beating the Spread articles. Have a great one, everybody. Thanks for listening.